So as we know, as Rusty's already spoken about, as Rob has already talked about, we come today to celebrate Jesus' ascension. Jesus ascends into the clouds, returning to his Father in heaven. He goes to be seated at the right hand of God to reign forever, for all times, over all things. Now again, as Rusty alluded to earlier, the Christ's ascension happened 40 days after the resurrection, and sometimes we celebrate that 40 days after Resurrection Sunday, and other times we celebrate it the Sunday after, as we are doing today. But in the past few weeks, what we've done is we've walked through the last days of Jesus' time on earth, and today we finish the story. In Luke 24, Jesus gathers his disciples at the Mount of Olives, and he says to them this after lifting up his hands and blessing them. He says, he lifted up his hands, he blessed them, he parted from them, and he was carried into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. After seeing Jesus ascend, the disciples worshipped Christ. They went home filled with great joy and they praised God. As we look at the ascension today, as we gather together and look at it afresh, my prayer is that we too would worship Christ, return home filled with great joy, and that our week would be filled with blessing God. So let's pray for that as we gather this morning. But before we do that, let's read from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. So again, 909 if you've got a church Bible with you. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we long to see your glory. We long to see you in your resurrected, ascended, heaven-dwelling glory. We long to taste but a glimpse of who you are. We long to see what it means to live before you as the risen Lord. We long to know, Lord, just how glorious you are, and we long to be transformed by that truth. Lord, we see but in part, but we look forward to when we will see it in its fullness. We ask today as we come, as we celebrate the ascension of Christ, as we praise you for it, as we speak of the Holy Spirit, as we wonder at the glory of you completing redemption, Lord, would you move in our hearts and would you help us, like the disciples, to go home filled with great joy. Help us, Lord, for our weeks to be filled with celebrating Christ. And so, Lord, touch our minds, touch our hearts. Help us to worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all long to be transformed in one way or another, don't we? We can look inside our homes and we see exercise machines or bikes or treadmills, and these things are all designed to transform our bodies from dad bod to beach bod, from stick man to Mr. Muscles. We look at our bookshelves or our Kindles and we see that there are pages and pages dedicated to transforming this boring life into something more. The clothes that we brought yesterday, we brought because we were hoping to transform our look. Our social media feeds inspire us with the transformation of others. And at times as well, we would love to see our spiritual lives transformed too. We would love to experience Christ more, to know Him more intimately, to see Him more clearly, to love Him more deeply, to live for Him with everything we have. But for seasons of our life, we don't see that happening. We aren't growing. We don't love Him more than we did yesterday. Today I want us to be encouraged by this simple truth. Our spiritual lives will be transformed as we grow in our appreciation for Christ in His ascended glory. Our spiritual lives will be transformed as we grow in our appreciation for Christ in His ascended glory. As our appreciation for Christ's glory grows, as our hearts and our minds reflect on the truth, as they marinate in the truth of it, as we speak the truth to others, our lives will begin to reflect this in wonderful ways. It will affect our families, it will affect our communities, it will affect our workplaces, it will affect our city. And so the question we must ask is how? How are we transformed like this? And I want to answer it in two ways. The first way is know Christ in His ascended glory. And to do that, I want to take a bird's eye view at the whole text. And the second way is to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And to do that, I want to zoom in on verses 4 to 8. How are we transformed? We know Christ in His ascended glory. Looking from a bird's eye perspective at the text, we can see that Luke is presenting us a picture of Jesus' life on earth from His ministry beginnings to His ascension. And what we see so clearly and what Luke is showing us so clearly is that Christ has completed all His work. There is nothing more for Him to do. When Jesus prays the high priestly prayer in John 17, He says, "I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do." The work of Jesus in this world was complete. It was finished. In verses 1 to 2, Luke reminds Theophilus that he had already written about what Jesus began to do and what He began to teach. Of course, this is the book of Luke itself that he's talking about, the prequel to Acts. But then we see in verse 3, don't we, that Jesus presented Himself alive to the apostles after His suffering. Jesus suffered the death that we deserved, yet the grave could not hold Him. What we've celebrated over Easter, He rose again, staying in on the earth for 40 days. He taught about the kingdom of God and let people see that He had risen. He then promises the Holy Spirit. He gathers His disciples at the Mount of Olives one last time, and He ascends into the air, going out of sight behind the cloud. Now we know that Christ ascended to be exalted at the right hand of God, to sit in His completed work on His throne, to be worshipped. He had completed all the redemptive work that God had asked Him to do, and He could now return to His position of glory. I don't have a great appreciation for art. I just know that some things look really, really good, and other things don't. One thing that does impress me about artists, though, is they seem to be able to come to the end, put that last final stroke on the painting, and it just goes pop. You know, they've finished it. They might be painting a landscape and put that last kind of yellow, oaky autumn leaf on there, stand back, and it's just beautiful. A friend of mine in Auckland, he used to love painting oil paintings, and I'm pretty sure he had been painting oil paintings from a young age. I suppose it doesn't really matter, but what was important was that he was really gifted. He could turn a blank canvas into the most beautiful piece of art with just brush, paint, and he normally had a photo of the landscape. But one time when he was painting a particular landscape, I had the unique privilege of seeing it a few times along the way. You see, normally we only see the end product, don't we? One time he was painting and he was halfway through, you know. You could only see the outlines of the mountains. You could see the beginnings of the river. You could see the trees. You could see this. But your mind just sort of filled in all the rest. You see it later and he's got the mountain details, the trees filled in and everything else done. But when he finished, the completed picture was the most glorious thing. It took your breath away. It was captivating. It drew you in. You wanted to get close and look at the details of it. You wanted to step back and see the scope of it. But the point is that in its completion was where it felt, where it was its most glorious. It was its most amazing. The truth is this, that Christ's glory too reaches its highest point in the completion of all his redemptive work. It reaches its highest point. His glory reaches its highest point in the completion of all his redemptive work. See, he's taught, he's performed miracles, he's ushered in the kingdom of God, he's died, he's risen again, he's promised the Holy Spirit, and he's glorified God by completing the redemptive work that he was asked to do. But how does this affect us? How does this change the way I live, the way I think, the way I speak to my wife, the way I look to my family, the way I relate in my work? The truth is this. We are transformed as we see His completed work. He has accomplished everything in redemption, which means for you, if you believe in Christ, your redemption is complete. Your redemption is complete. He has completed the work of living the perfect life that none of us could ever live. He has died the death that you deserve to die. He has given you new life. He has poured out the Holy Spirit into your heart, and the resurrection promise is for you to own. To truly see transformation in your life, you need to know more and more. You need to come to grips more and more in the depths of your heart that your redemption is complete in Christ. Experience again tells us that there will be seasons in our life where we feel like Christ hasn't done enough. I'm not better. I'm not as good as I thought I'd be. I'm not witnessing enough. I'm not effective enough. I am not enough. Christ hasn't done enough. But His work is complete. He has done enough. He has done it all. It's only when we truly come to grasp the completeness of Christ's redemptive work that we will see true transformation in our lives. But this involves taking our eyes off ourselves, and it means turning to Christ and seeing Him in His glory. The opposite is also true. When the reality of Christ's completed work isn't transforming our lives, we begin to long for those physical transformations even more. We long for them to fill the gap where Christ is missing in our hearts. the less we see the reality of Christ in our lives, the more we want skinny, the more we want relevant, the more we want exciting, the more we want to see weight progress, renovation progress, tidiness progress, progress in the amount of likes we're getting, because it makes us feel good. They all help us forget for a moment that we feel empty, alone, and unexcited about Christ. And if you're in a season like this, and they do happen regularly in the walk with Christ, then I want to urge you this morning to remember what Christ has done. Your redemption is complete. How are we transformed? We know Christ in His ascended glory, and secondly, we experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll now have a closer look at verse 4 to 8, which as we can, as you all know, is the heart of this text. And as we do, we come to one of the most important times in the biblical story, Jesus promising the Holy Spirit would be poured out not many days from now. And we know that that Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost in Acts 2, and the lives of the apostles were transformed instantly, forever changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we too gather and consider the ascended glory of Christ today, we must remember that He has poured out His Holy Spirit onto His church, the body of people that He calls His own. And we will see that transformation happens when we experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In verse 4, Jesus ordered the disciples to stay in Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father. This promise would involve the baptism of the Spirit, or the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. See, long before Jesus walked the earth, the Holy Spirit had been promised by the Father. And one of the clearest places that we see that is in Joel 2, verse 28 and 29. Those words say this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit." Throughout Acts, we see the Spirit progressively poured out to all people groups, starting in Acts 2 with the apostles. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, witnessed to the glory of Christ, and as they witnessed, the Jewish people were cut to the heart, repented, and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 8, we see the Holy Spirit poured out into the Samaritans after Peter and John go down and pray for them to receive Him. In Acts 10 and 19, we see the Holy Spirit poured out into the Gentile believers. The Holy Spirit in Acts is poured out to all flesh, fulfilling the promise of Joel 2. The new covenant promise was fulfilled. But we see in verse 6, don't we, that the disciples were expecting this to be the beginning of the restoration of Israel as a nation. They say to Jesus, "Lord, will you now at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" See, they wanted to be out from under the oppression of the Romans. They wanted to be enjoying the times of Israel like they had in Joshua's day and Solomon's day and David's day, where the nation of Israel was strong. But Jesus says, it's not for you to know. What does He say in verse 8? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The apostles would see a kingdom flourish, but it wouldn't be the nation of Israel itself. It would be the kingdom of God made up of every nation, every tribe, as the message of Christ went out through the power of the Holy Spirit to all the world. The most radical transformation of people happened after Pentecost. People were filled with the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God and the people of God, and they experienced His life-changing power. One of the things that is unique about the city of Christchurch after the earthquakes is that if you walk or drive up any street, you can see a brand new building right next door to a derelict building, which might be right next door again to a building that's held up with these big steel props to help it remain strong. We see it even on the very street that we meet on. We meet in the piano building, a brand new rebuilt building. We see the RSA down the street that is brand new because obviously these buildings couldn't be kept. They were deemed unsafe. The demolition crews came in and they poured the new foundation, built the new house. But across the street, we have a demolished building. Up towards Margaret Mahee, we have derelict buildings, empty and waiting for the day that they too will be demolished and restored. There's brand new, there's propped up, and there's derelict all together on the same street. And that is something so unique about the city that we live in. But as we consider the work of the Holy Spirit today transforming our lives, consider what it means for the Holy Spirit to be poured out of the kingdom of God's people. As we consider what it means to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is in the business of new builds. He is in the business of building anew. The reality is that we're all damaged without the work of the Holy Spirit. We're all derelict. We're in poor spiritual condition. We need renewal. See, we have longed for our own kingdoms to be built. We've sought after our own glory. We've been consumed by our own desires, and we are desperate for renewal. The old building has to be demolished, and that is what the Holy Spirit is in the business of. Listen to these words from Ezekiel 36. I use these all the time, but I just love them. I will create in you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. See, the truth is this. Sometimes we forget this, and we start to think of the Holy Spirit as using His power to prop us up. We might think we have solid walls and ceiling, but we just need help to remain stable. I just need Him to sort me out in this area. I've got a few issues over here. I could use Him to sort that out. I need Him to sort out my lust for food or finance or fame. If He could just prop me up and I would be fine. But He is not in the business of propping people up. He is in the business of building anew. He has poured out His Holy Spirit into this world to restore men and women so that we can once again reflect the fact that we are created in the image of God, that we are sons and daughters of God, that we would have new hearts and new minds and new desires and new loves and new cares for other people, that we would be brand new. So what does this mean for us? How do we apply this? We must let the Holy Spirit do His restorative work, the renewal work in our lives. In Ephesians 5:8, Paul says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." The role we have as we desire to see our lives transformed is to acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit, the desire that He has to reach into your heart, renew it, restore it, and we must allow Him to do His work. See, the Holy Spirit, if He lives in you, He will be pushing you. He will be wanting to get into areas of your life to renew and restore, and He will be bringing to your mind and your heart applications of His Word. And in that moment, you have a choice whether you let Him, whether you listen to it, or whether you suppress it, whether you push it down. See, the Holy Spirit will live in us in discontent if we are living with our employers, our employees, or fellow workers, and we're gossiping about them, bringing them down. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good as building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The Holy Spirit will be discontent if you're not living with your wife in an understanding way, if you're living with your husband disrespectfully. He will be discontent about that. If you're not showing honor to your parents, if you're being consumed by lust and pornography, the Holy Spirit will be discontent to live in that situation. The reality for us all, and we know it to be true, is that we are in the process from derelict to brand new. But the Holy Spirit will always long to restore another corner of your building. He will always long to restore, because He wants to return you, to restore you to your glory of creation. You are the new creation, and He is the master artist longing to present you before the Father, perfect in Christ, renewed and restored. So the simple urge is to go on being filled with the Spirit, to go on letting being your all-consuming focus. But how do we apply this? Let's look. How do we think about this as we look in, as we look up, and as we look out? And I'll just finish with three quick application points. Firstly, as we look in, we must trust the Holy Spirit in the restoration process. We need to give the Spirit the keys to our spiritual house and ask Him to use His creative, restorative power to renew those derelict corners. If you're a particularly bold person, and I say this with all my heart, then ask the Holy Spirit to radically renew your heart. Be filled with the Spirit as He brings to the surface areas of your life which need renewal, and trust Him to be the renovator. Secondly, as we look up, know Christ is ascended and is in glory. Meditate on those verses in Revelation which speak of Him and His glory. Pray that the Lord would impress this truth upon your heart. The fact that Christ is risen, He is ascended, and He is the Lord over all things, and everything is under His feet. The church and His body are to live acknowledging Christ's lordship over every area of our lives. But also look to the clouds. Christ will return one day, and He will come in the same manner which He left. In times of trauma, of hardship, of frustration, of life, as life begins to overwhelm you, remember that Christ will one day return again, and that you will be raised with Him, and let this hope be your joy. Remember that this hope is your joy. You too will ascend with Christ. If you believe in Him, if you have a repentant heart, He will take you to His Father, and you will be presented before Him in glory, and the Lord God will comfort you as your Father, and you will have eternal fullness of joy with Christ. Thirdly, as we look out, know that the Holy Spirit empowered the apostles to be witnesses to Him in all the earth. Now, there is very definitely a special commission for the apostles here, but there is also a general commission for us. As the Holy Spirit is poured out in power, He commissions us to share the message of Christ. We have neighbors who need the message of Christ. We have communities which need the love of Christ. We have a city which needs the restorative work of the Holy Spirit more than it needs to restore those buildings. We are messengers of the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and He longs to use us to share the message of Christ. As we grow in our understanding of Christ and His ascended glory, we will be transformed. If we saw for just one moment, one second, the reality of Christ's glory, we would be transformed for the rest of our lives. We now look at the glory of Christ through the Word and as His Spirit reveals the truth to us. But as we are transformed by this truth, the reality is that it will bleed into our families. It will bleed into our devotional life before the Lord. It will bleed into our communities. It will bleed into our city. Never has the day been more ready for a church to know the reality of Christ's ascended glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we confess that sometimes our lives do not reflect the fact that You have ascended, You have completed Your redemptive work, You have sent Your Holy Spirit with power. But at the same time, Lord, we long that You would renew in our hearts a, a vigor for seeing Christ's glory, a longing to know Christ ascended, to be able to worship like the creatures worship Christ around the throne, that we would be able to throw our crowns down and give our lives to worshiping Christ. Lord, please help us to know. Please help us to see. We sometimes feel like we seek and you will not be found. But reveal yourself to us through your Holy Spirit. Comfort our hearts and remind us that you are the ascended Christ who has sent the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.